Hello, this is Joe Tomalin for Fringe Review, and I'm speaking to someone who's got an upcoming show at this year's Edinburgh Fringe 2021. Please introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Hey, hello, Joe. My name is Martin Moore, and I am a stand-up comedian and a circus performer.
So how did you get into circus? Did you run away with the circus, as the proverbial saying goes?
Yeah, kind of. So I, when I was young, I grew up in Northern Ireland, and when I was growing up, I worked on the fairgrounds, so I had that kind of carny background anyway. And as a young person, I was hitchhiking in Europe, and decided I wanted to find a way to do more of that kind of work, more of that kind of traveling, and discovered juggling, and had an aptitude for it straight away, and got lucky. Got really, really lucky, came back to Northern Ireland and managed to get proper training. And because the troubles were happening in Northern Ireland at the time, this was the 1980s, that there was a lot of Arts Council funding. So I worked with some fantastic circus tutors and got trained really well, really early on. So it was good luck.
Wow. And what kind of juggling do you do?
Because well,
different styles and different materials.
Yeah. So as a younger man, I was very much trying to be a Vegas Shazam kind of juggler. White tuxedo, all white equipment to music, very stylish dancing. I studied dance at college, so it was very dance orientated. And then, of course, you have to diversify with that kind of work. And so I then started doing comedy juggling and found that was where my actual skills lied. So became a comedy juggler, unicycling, freestanding ladder, comedy juggling.
And you still do that?
I've had a new lease of life because I suffer from a condition in my hands, which is called Dupuytren's contracture. And it's a hereditary condition that causes people's fingers to curl up. And it's quite well known as the Viking disease. And the reason it's called Viking disease, it's people of Viking descent that tend to suffer from this condition. So as of about 15 years ago, I couldn't really juggle very well because my fingers had curled up. So I only had use of about two fingers on each hand. So I still did my shows, but they were not very skill-based. They were more like silent clown shows, and they did have juggling in them. And then I had some operations which gave me back full use of my hands. Probably it's going to be temporary. They'll curl up again. But I started working with a young juggler in Northern Ireland called Logie Logan, and we formed Circus Sonus. And Circus Sonus is one of the shows we're taking to Edinburgh.
I see. And so The show that's coming to Edinburgh, when is it playing? Because the Edinburgh Festival starts any day now.
Yeah, so the festival starts this weekend, but because of the uncertainty around it, and because Logie and I both have full careers as solo performers, we initially wanted to commit the full month, but it was so uncertain. And as the paid work was coming in, we went down to we'll go for 3 weeks. And then more work came in and it was more uncertain. Then we went down, we'll commit to 2 weeks. And then lockdown happened again, looked like it wouldn't happen at all for the Fringe. So we took paid work, so we're both completely busy. So this year, we're only able to go for 3 days. So we're going for 3 days, the 22nd, the 23rd and the 24th. And we are going to do two performances of our family show, which is called the Circus Sonus Family Show. So we do two shows every day. And then I'll do a solo stand-up show. And then Logie and I also have an adult circus show that we'll do every night. So we're really squashing the shows into the day.
Yes. So how does the adult show, what constitutes the adult show compared with the children's show?
Oh, so the adult show is much like an adult cabaret show, but with two performers, and we do dangerous things. Now we don't really we don't like to do the dangerous stunt type circus things for the children. Children shows, family friendly, everybody comes and has a good time. But in the adult show, we do some genuinely dangerous stuff. And there might be a little bit of adult language and adult content involved. And yeah, it's a really fun show. We've done it all over the world, that show. And yeah, we're looking forward to being back at the Fringe with it.
Mm. What about, do you have any advice for anyone who might think about starting juggling? How would you start? What would you do?
Well, Joe, I can tell you exactly how you start. Is you go to YouTube and you put in the words funny, happy stuff. If you put in funny, happy stuff, my YouTube channel comes up and there are YouTube tutorials on how to juggle.
Oh.
Right from the most basic right through to some quite advanced juggling. And I made these during lockdown for people to have something to do at home.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's amazing. Well, what a great... what a great answer. We have a remedy right here. Thank you. Now, switching gears to your stand-up, how did you begin to do stand-up?
So I was living in Manchester, and it was the early 1990s. And I'd been training a new act. I was working on a new act to go into tented circus in Europe. And it was going to be a traveling act in tented circus in Europe. And I broke my ankle in a training accident. And while I was off work on crutches, I heard about a comedy club that had opened in Manchester. And it was called the Frog and Bucket Comedy Club. And I thought, oh, well, I'll phone them up and I'll see if there's something I can do. And I phoned up, and the guy that ran it was a guy called Selwyn. And he had, it was a tiny club in, at the time. It's still there, but it's a much bigger club now. And phoned up and said, oh, I'm interested. And he'd seen my circus show. And he said, oh, just come as a paid act. So the first time I was in a comedy club, I walked in as a paid performer and really liked that. And it was a really thriving scene. In those days, it was quite a small scene, but there would be like Carolina Hearn, you know, that did Mrs. Merton, and there would be Steve Coogan would often be there, and Henry Normal, a lot of people that went on, John Thompson, a lot of people went on to be like TV names. Chris Addison, who you might know, he's the director of Veep. He's an English stand-up. He directs Veep, which has been very popular in the United States. Dave Gorman was around the scene. So it was one of those things of the right place at the right time.
Wow. And do you have a theme? Do you have a theme with your stand-up, your material?
For Edinburgh?
Well, in general, and then specifically for different venues or locations.
Yeah, so look, I tend to be writing a lot. This is my 31st hour, this one that will be at Edinburgh. So my thing is I like the creative process. My whole idea of going to Edinburgh is the deadline of at least one new show every year. Some last Edinburgh 2019, I had five new shows, so five new hours that year. And yeah, this year it's called At the Edge. And it's the same title that I had for last year, which was destined to be the story of me finishing the Australian festival run in Adelaide and then cycling back across Australia to Perth, which is, of course, along the edge of the Great Australian Bight. And it was going to be about the history and the experience of that journey. But of course, we got locked down, didn't we? And I wasn't able to cycle back across the Nullarbor. So I've changed it now. So it's still called At the Edge. But rather than lose that idea, I'm going to save that idea for when I can go back to Australia. And this time it's called At the Edge, and it does have a theme to it.
Ah, okay. Okay. And how has your stand-up, material and delivery as well, how has that developed and maybe changed over the years?
Ah, so it really develops and changes because you simply run out of true stories. So a lot of mine would be based on true stories, and you simply run out. You simply run out of them. So I've been at Edinburgh, I think every year. No, I missed 1 year since 1997 at Edinburgh. So eventually I've told all the stories about being at school and all the stories of, you know, getting drunk some night. Or so what happens then is I have to put myself in situations to create the content, hence the cycling across Australia. Or a few years ago, my show was about Mount Everest, because we, for charity, some of us did the highest altitude comedy show, which was at base camp of Mount Everest. So I did that experience, and then I wrote the show about my experience and the history of Mount Everest. So it tends to be things like that.
Now, you've performed in many, many countries. How does the humour vary in each country?
So it tends to be, these days, it tends to be that the different regions like different types of English language comedy. So, for example, if you go so here or Europe, people would tend to be going for English language comedy because they've seen comedy on TV and they've seen British comedy or Irish comedy. Then there's a point that you cross when you go into Southeast Asia, and they're mostly American comedy. So they've mostly heard American style comedy. And it's really interesting to see that difference. Now, the lucky thing is, as an Irishman, I fall right between those two things, because I'm neither British comedy or American comedy, but Irish comedy lies somewhere in the middle of the two. And it's also that thing of I tend to write specifically for the place that I'm going to. So I know they're going to get the references.
Could you talk about some of the strangest places you've performed in? Because I know you mentioned somewhere that you have performed in a prison.
Yeah.
For example.
Yes, I've actually performed in several prisons. But the strangest one was I was in Turin about 1995, and it was part of a big circus festival. And one of the things that they did it wasn't a young person's prison, like we would know, that would be like Borstal with under 18s. But this was a prison where everybody was under 30. So they were between sort of 18 and 30. So it kind of was a young man's prison. And what they were doing was they brought some performers in to do a show in the prison. And so we went along to do the show, and it was in the exercise yard of the prison. And there were two Russian acrobats and a Polish clown and me. And I was there as a juggler. And we just turned up and they did their thing. And it came to me to do my thing. I was the last act, and all the audience and there were some dignitaries like the mayor and so on. And of course, my act was juggling machetes, was a knife throwing act. And some juggling, and nobody had asked me, and nobody had checked me. And suddenly I could see all the prison wardens really looking over when I produced these 3-foot machetes out of my bag. It went very well. And it was actually a very pleasant experience.
Wow. And for the future, once we get out of this pandemic, and you're able to sort of maybe travel and do more shows, what do you have any plans for the future? Because you seem to be creating new work quite frequently. And so what do you think might come about, or what do you hope for in the next few years?
Yeah, so look, who knows what the future is going to be like. But I was due to have done a Canadian tour that I'd been building up to with little visits to Canada. So I would hope to be able to get back to that, because I want to try and get shows right up into the Arctic Circle is one of the things that I want to do. And then also when I was in Australia, I beg your pardon, when I was in Australia, I was working on an Aboriginal community teaching circus skills. And I hope to go back and do more of that it really doesn't look like that will happen next year because of the lockdown that's happened again in Australia. But that would be my normally now I would be looking to finish Edinburgh and then Australian tour and then back to the Northern Territories of Australia to work on the community. So that's sort of my goal if we get back to normality. If we don't, I've been doing a lot of work online. So I teach comedy writing and performance skills. So I hope to keep doing those tutorials online. So if we're locked down, I can do that as well. And with that, I have clients everywhere. I've clients in North America. I have a client in Mongolia. English language comedy is all over the world. So through Zoom, I get to work with these great people.
Martin Moore, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you.